Taf Memtes Amar Aleph, Shabbos. The two dots. It's Zman Shehein Vlachim. So let's just quickly look back at the Mishnah, what it's talking about. The Mishnah had two groups of materials that we say we don't use. The first group is the Gefet, the Zevel, the Melech, the Seed, the Chol. That's whether it's Lachim moist, or whether it's Yevesh, or if it's dry. The second group, Tevin, Zagin, Umuchim. Tevin is the produce from the field, the stubble. The Zagin is leftover skins and stuff from the grapes. And Muchin, we said, was cotton and leftover worn-out clothes. And a Savim. This is, we're only allowed to use them when they're dried. Bizman Shehem Lachin. If they're Lachin, we don't do Hatmana with them. But if they are dry, we can. Meaning that the second part of the mission is talking about things that when they're wet, they're mosif hevel. When they're dry, you could use them, no problem. You could do hatmana, Erev Shabbos on it. So the Gemara has a shaila. Is my chain lachim? Iboin lahu. Lachim. What kind of moisture are we talking about on these things? Are they machmat atzma? Or are we dealing with, for example, the tevin or the asavin, all these things, the zagin, they're intrinsically moist, meaning they never dried out, and the moisture is coming from the produce itself. Or dimalaki makmatavachya. Well, maybe they completely dried out, and you poured water on it, and that's why it's wet over here. Vashi, laki makmatatsman. If they're moist from within themselves, that they're going to be more wet, they're going to be more heat producing if they're internally moist than if they become wet from an external part. Of course, like all Gemaras, there's always something more deeper going on. Over here, there's a Rambam that learns it's exactly opposite. That something that has water poured onto it will be produce more heat than something that is intrinsically wet. I don't understand exactly why that would be. Rashi says it straight out, what I think the pasuk is. You have grass that's still moist, that can produce heat. But when it's just as dry grass that has water put on it, will not have as much heat. So the Gemara is asking, which one are we talking about, Lachin? Are we talking about that it's eternal, it's wet still from the moisture of itself? Or perhaps it's talking about moisture that came from another source? Tashma, we'll bring a raya. That we're talking about something that is wet from another source. Tashma, the Mishnah said, lo b'tevin, tevin again is the leftover stubble, the straw, for lo b'zagin, the leftovers from the grape, from the grapes, for lo b'muchin, that's the cotton products, for lo b'asavim, b'zman shehem lachin, and the time that they are wet. Iyamar b'shlama lachin machmas davar acher, shapir. I could understand that this case is talking about where they got wet from something else. Eliyah Mar Lachi Machmad Atzman. If we're talking about they're intrinsically moist, Muchin, when we're dealing with these worn clothing and the cotton sheaves and all these things, Muchin Lachi Machmad Atzman Heichem Mishkachala. How do we find these Muchin, the old clothes, the stuff, the shearings coming from the from the sheep, how do we find them intrinsically wet? These things are not intrinsically wet. I can understand the grass. I can understand the tevin. I can understand all the other cases. But mukin seems to be a raya that it has to be wet from another place. Where do you find that it's wet from itself? So according to that, it would be a very good raya. If the Mishnah had a whole listing of things, and one of them can only be wet from another place and not intrinsically wet, that means it should answer the whole Shaila, that all of them, even though they can be intrinsically wet, it must be talking about it's moist from a davar acher, machmas, something else. So we answer, no, we do have a place. Memirta. Memirta deveni ante. If you plucked the wool, from between the legs of the behema. Vashi. Mirta debeni ante. Mitzema hanimrat mebein yachlateya shala behema. The tzema that is plucked, that's between the legs of the behema, shahu mali zeya. It is filled with zeya, for hu lach miatzma. It's considered moist from itself. Balaki karile mirta. That's why we call it mirta. Mirta is a lesson of plucking and not shearing. the lav par gizu. This is not an area that we normally sheaf. It's an area that we pluck off. So this wool over here has a intrinsic moisture. So my chavus asked again, what's the difference between over here? Let's say that the rain fell on the sheep before you sheared it off. Why is there something more? Is it something intrinsically different with the fibers of the wool over here? And we were going back and forth. I was trying to bring a difference between, no, it's not a metzias in the wool over here. There must be something different from the rain falling on it, or something producing from its own sweat over here. But again, he was insistent. Producing from the sweat of the animal, or rain falling on it from external points, there should be no difference over here. It should be an external thing. So we saw the next brisa, v'hadatani, and not only is it a tashma, we have it in a brisa. Rabbi Yoshiya tom nim bekasut yevesha, he would do tatmana in kasut, in clothing that were dry, ubeperet yeveshin, avalo bekasut lecha, although beperet lachim. He did not do it when they were moist, not clothing and not fruit. Machmas atzman, hechi mishkachala, and where do you find it, machmas atzman? Mimirta tebeni amte. Again, that you found it, that you plucked it from between the legs over here. So again, we're dealing with the word kasut, clothing over here. Clothing that's intrinsically moist, coming from where? This wool that you did, even though you did all the process from it. It's mashma, I think what Donnie is saying over here, that the wool is intrinsically, characteristically different in that area, that it's much more absorbent. But, and it seems to be mashma that in Rashi, is if you look at the Rashi again, shumalizeya, tohu lach mi'atzmo. I want to say lach mi'atzmo from the sweat, but it's mashma, it's lach mi'atzmo, the etzim wool over here. It's a different mitzvah of a wool. This could be it. The Maaseh of the Gemara did not answer over here. The question though, we started with the Niboilahu. Lachi machma atzmo or dilma lachmi machma tzava achia. We just bought a proof that muchim can be wet from a intrinsically wet, but it didn't answer the question over here. So this is what we call in the boyele de lo ipshiza. It's a question that wasn't answered in the Gemara. So normally we have a klal, something that's not answered in the Gemara on a midrash rabbanan, we should go mekel. So we'd have to say over here that only if it's intrinsically moist, according to Rashi, that would be an issur of mosif hevel. But if it's wetted from another source, not, according to the Rambam, the other case. Comes the Rambam, and he passed him to Hachmi over here. And just letting you know, it's a big tumult. I didn't understand it all. This Rambam movie, I didn't understand why he went away from the pashtus of Rashi, Harry Kipaskin Lechumor, whoever has time, Ten Lechachem V'yachimod, difficult Rambam over here. Mishnah. Tomnim bechasut ubepeirot ubekanfe yona ubenesor shal chavashim ubenorot shal pishtim takim. You're allowed to hatmana. Remember the first Mishnah started off on things that you can't do hatmana with. These are things you can do hatmana with. What are things that are not mosif hevel? For example, clothing or peirot, fruit that I guess are completely dried out. I mean, we don't make the difference over here. I guess peirot, even if they're wet over here. Cholik on Rabbi Yoshiya, which Tosfo points this out, that Rabbi Yoshiya is cholik on our Mishnah. Because we don't make any distinction over here if they're moist or not. Peirot are not mosif hevel. That's the way it is. Clothes, peirot, kanfe yona, would be the wings of yona, the feathers, I guess. Ubenesor shel charashim, this is the sawdust left from a carpenter. The one you finish with the pishtin, the strands, thin strands of pishtin, are not mosif hevel. Rabbi Yehuda asa bedaku mati begasa. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the thin strands will produce, but the thick ones, before they were so finely stranded, will not make. Sorry, the thick ones are mutter, and the thin ones are asa. Rashi. Nor to the combings of the plishtin, the pishtin, the flax. Dach dach shenorim in a pishtin v'korin arishta. When you did it very thin, nesoros v'shem shemenesorim in a korim in a etzim. When they saw the wood, the carpenter saw the wood. You left the sawdust. Ubeperik kagon chitim v'kitniot. We're not dealing with regular peirot, because I guess they decompose and they produce heat. We're dealing with the fruit like wheat and kidneys. This Rashi is coming to make a very big chiluk over here. Kanfiyona, that's the feathers. We're talking about kanfiyona. We're going to start talking about another halakha, and it's going to become apparent why we talk. Why this halakha is coming down in this sugya. Omer Rebbe Yani, tefillin. When a person wears tefillin, tzrichin guf naki, kelisha bal kenafayim. You need to have a clean body, like Elisha Bal Kenafayim. We're going to see a story in a minute about Elisha Bal Kenafayim. So you need a guf naki to wear tefillin. Maihi, what's called a guf naki? A bayamech lo yafiach. A person should not have gas when he's wearing tefillin. Behem. Vavo meh shalo yisham behem. You shouldn't sleep with them. Rashi. A person should not put tefillin on unless he is able to stand up on himself at the time that he has ruach, that he doesn't have gas with tefillin. It's not allowed. You have to have a clean body. Shelo yisham behem. Rava says you shouldn't sleep with them. Why shouldn't you? What's the problem with sleeping with them? Shema yafiach or yirakari. We're afraid you might do something dirty. You might have gas or you might have carry with it. Avalim yachal azir shelo yishan behem. And Rav is saying if you could be careful not to sleep with them, kol gufim nikiyim v'yafika shiachal miyalad atzman. For sure, if you could stand up and not sleep with them, we don't have to worry. Of course, you could stand on yourself and not have gas with them. Meaning, in those days, they wore tefillin all day. And it was hard, I guess, not to sleep in with them. Tosfot adds another aspect. Why shouldn't you sleep with them? This Tosfot all the way down towards the bottom of the Gemara. Shelo yishan behem. Mishum shelo yafiach behem b'shas shina. We're afraid, again, you might have gas with them. Or mishum asiach hadas. Because you might have siach hadas. Now, Lamaisa, this is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch comes out in Miskana that the mitzvah of wearing tefillin. And my son is getting bar mitzvah in the month of Sosa. We're going through these halakhas. One of them, a very important halakha. You got to tell the kids that you got to be careful. Have a guf naki. What is a guf naki? One is the mitzvah. He says guf naki. Shelo yafiach behem. You don't have gas with it. But shelo yasiach taitam. Like Tosfot says, and you don't sleep with it. Also, you have to be very careful with your tefillin. And for this reason, is the reason why that we don't wear it all day, because we're afraid that we can't control ourselves. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says, Makom, you should wear it all day, be careful from these things. Nevertheless, at least be careful during the time of Kriya Shema and Tefillah. You should be very careful with your tefillin, not be Mesiach Das with them. Passing gas, we could all stand up on, not going to sleep during Tefillah. Okay, we could do it, we're active for it. But the Mesiach Das is a little bit difficult over here. Because what is the getter of Mesiach Das? We have the Shulchan Aruch saying that a person should be Mesiach Das from Tefillin. To find the getter of Mesiach Das is difficult, because Lamaisa, in the days of Chazal, they wore Tefillin all day. If you were a winemaker, you made it making your wine. If you dealt with people, you were in wine. So Mesiach Das cannot mean that your mind is totally focused on the Tefillin all day. It must mean something else, because people can work with it. So I was, Rav Karp brings down a Tzarek Ian on trying to get the exact getter of it, but he brings down a Rabbeinu Yonah which quotes a Rambam. I didn't see the Rambam inside, but it basically, Mesiach Das means Yiras Shemayim and you're not Kalos Rosh. That's Mesiach Das over here, which is it's more of a Shlili type of an explanation over here. Meaning that a person, it's not that you have to be focused on the tefillin all day. If so, with Karpes, how could you wear tefillin all day? I think it's the Rosh actually being done. How could someone wear tefillin all day? You can't remove your mind from tefillin. You can't do work. You can't do anything. Rather, it means it's a certain mitzini that you have when you have them on and not being mitziach das. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, for that reason, most people don't wear tefillin all day anymore. But bizman katzar kizeh, that during tefillah and Shemona Esrei, and plus the whole seriousness and the decor of the shul and everything that you're doing, a person could be lizar in that time period that you're not messiah, you don't joke around, you don't, certainly one should not have guests, you should hold himself up. If you do and you can't control himself, I think I remember hearing the Eitzah is, you flick up the top and you move the arm off the place where it is. Because if the tefillin's not on the place where it is, it's not considered being maniach tefillin. That's in case of like extreme emergency. But of course, one should not get into that case. There's a halacha that we brought down in Masechta Brachos that one should, when they daven, greet Hashem with a clean body over you. You should approach them clean, and one should use the facilities before they daven, even at the extent of going late to tefillah. It's that important. So Mishnah Berurah continues going on, for tefillah you do it. And this is for the average person. They should wear the tefillin during tefillah and Kriya Shema. But Anshei Maisa, that they can wear all day, they just have to be very careful that they can hold on themselves. They know the things quite clearly. They're not going to fall asleep. They're not going to be Mesiach Das, sitting and learning. Again, Mesiach Das doesn't mean that you're just thinking about other things. It means that you're in your Ritzini. You're not Kalos Rosh during it. So a person who's sitting and learning all day in Kolol, and there are quite a number of people that do it, they should they could wear it. However, be very careful of not Devarim Betolim. Because once you speak Devarim Betolim, that, the Mishnah Berurah says, is Mesiach Das. That's not Ritzini anymore. So if you're sitting there wearing your tefillin while you're learning, and all of a sudden you say, oh, you're going on the teal next week, boom, that could be a problem. So one, if one does want to wear tefillin all day, they should be careful. The minhag is not to, because not everybody can hold themselves back. And from gas, yes, sleeping, yes. But the Mesiach Das is a little bit more difficult. Okay, Omer Rav Yanni, tefillin tzrikin guf naki kalisha ben kenafayim, mahi avaya meshalo yafiak behem, one should not have yes with it, vavo meshalo yisham behem. Amai kori lei baal kenafayim, why do we call Elisha baal kenafayim? What did he do over here? Here's the mice of Elisha. Shapam echad gazu malchut vomi avasha'a. Once the Roman wicked empire made a gezeira on Klal Yisrael, and when I teach American history glorifies the Roman Empire. When we talk about the Roman Empire, we immediately put in the word, it's wicked. It was evil over there. It was an evil empire, the Roman Empire. They did what they wanted, as we see from this decree over here. Gezeira al Yisrael shekol ha-maniach tefillin. They made a gezeira. Whoever puts on tefillin, yinakru et mocho. Nikor. It means they gouged out his brains. Pretty vicious over here. Vahaya Elisha. Elisha was very medactic in tefillin, and he was mesiris nefesh from it. And even though we don't explain over here that he was careful with his group, but if you see, he was so mesiris nefesh, even in the time of Gezer of the Romans, we're going to see a nace happen to him. For sure, he was careful with keeping the group naki also. Haya Elisha menichra v'yotzim l'shok. He went out to the shok. Vo kazdor. A Roman person who was appointed for this purpose to make sure they're not wearing tefillin, he saw him. Echad, vats mi parav. He immediately ran away from him. Veratzachav, and the soldier ran after him. Vekevan sheyegia eitzlo, when he saw that the Roman was catching up to him, natlo mirosho. He took him off his head. Viatzim biado, and they were grasping his hands. Omelo maze biadcha. The Roman soldier, about to kill him, said, what's that in your hand? Omelo kanfeyona. They're pigeon wings. Pashadet yado v'nimtzu kanfeyona. He opened up his hands, and what he find, and these happened, they were kanfeyona. L'ficha korinoto Elisha bal kinafayim. Therefore, we call him Elisha bal kinafayim. And that's his name, and there's a minhag today that some people, when they roll up their tefillin shel vosh, they leave the two things out hanging like kanfeyona. Anyone do that? Yeah, some people do it. So I'll just, Michael Russo, what? Just show you how, this is how I was taught to do it. I put my tefillin over here. I was taught this story when I started wearing tefillin. I have kanfeyona on my things. Where is this minhag brought down? None other than the Mishnah Berurah mentions it. Right, in the name of the Magen Avraham. For the Rosh. No, because it was the Rosh that he was wearing that it was that the nace happened to. Because that was revealed. The Roman saw it. So it only happened with the tefillin shel Rosh, this whole thing. Because that was that's what the Roman saw. Oh. Mishnah Berurah says, V'yesh no'agim l'kochim hinafayim al shem kanfei yona. So it's a minhag that's put down in the Mishnah Berurah. It's a nice thing. Now it's time of the Romans, so it's much later. Tosfot brings up a very important question over here. He brings up a very important question. How was he able to do it? What? How was he able to... Not what you think, how was he able to wear the tefillin. How was he able to take off the tefillin? This was a time of Shemad. And the time of Shemad, the Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down that even if they won't, the Goyim tell you to change your shoelace over here, you're not allowed to change your shoelace. Normally, at a time we're only allowed to give up our life for three things. That's Kili Yavais, Shvichat Damim, and Avodah Zorah. Those three things. On other things, no. Unless it's Bifur Hesia, or it's a time of Shemad. Time of Shemad, you have to give up your life on everything. So how was it when the woman said, when the woman caught up to him, he quickly took him off. It's a time of Shemad, he should have been Yarg V'lo Yafor over here. That's Tosfot's question over here. And what?
He didn't have to wear it.
Huh?
He didn't have to.
Oh, that's Tosfot's answer. Who said you had to wear them? We already saw that. You just have to wear them. The main time to wear them is during Kriya Shema and Tefillah. This was something extra that he was doing, and not everybody was doing it. And therefore, he was able to take them off. So therefore, we asked the other question. If it was something that everybody didn't do, then how are you able to machnis yourself into Sakani? Went out. The Gemara said he went out into the shuk over here. So the Mefoshim bring down the Ksav. The Kosef, he's the author of the Ein Yaakov, the one who compiled the Ein Yaakov, all the Gemoras. He also has a commentary on some of the Agadot, and he comments over here. He normally brings down more halakhic type in Yanim, and he brings down over here that it's that you're not mechuyev to give up your life, yarg v'le yavor, on mitzvahs. But if someone wants to, if he's mosin nafshe, tavo alav bracha. That's something allowed. So if at the time of Gezeirah, we're only allowed to, they don't allow us to do mitzvah, so you're not allowed to go over the big three. But if someone is just, he can't take it, it's so important to him, these mitzvahs or something, especially Alisha that he took the mitzvah of tefillin, so far, he's allowed, it's mutter. It's not that you're chayiv, but you're mutter. A person is mutter, we don't look at this person like he did something wrong. You're allowed to be mosi and nafshe, even on other mitzvahs that it's not from the big three. My Shna Kanfiyona.
Here that says Kanfiyona. It's not like in the Mishnah Kanfiyona, right? In the Mishnah Kanfiyona is not source.
Mm-hmm.
And here Kanfiyona is really Nafayona.
Maybe. I don't know.
That's what you showed us.
Okay. I don't know, though. So that's the Minhag, is to do it like that as a remembrance of you, as a reminder. I guess there's no other way to do it, but it's good horror. And, My Shna Kanfiyona. Why did it turn into Kanfiyona? Why do you even say Kanfiyona? Where did this idea come from? Mishar Ofok, from any other type of bird. Mishum Diatna Knesset Yisrael Yona. Knesset Yisrael is compared. The Taf and the Shin in Aramaic is switched around. It's a mushal for Knesset Yisrael Yona. We're compared to a Yona. Shinamar Kanfiyona in the Chapi Bekesef. This pasuk over here at the Hillim is comparing Klal Yisrael to Kanfiyona, to a Yona. My Yona, Kanafeya, Maginot Aleya. The Yona, all birds, when they're cornered, a Yona will use its wings to protect itself, either to fight or to actually cover its body up. Av Yisrael, the mitzvahs, Maginot Aleya. The mitzvahs protect them. Mitzvahs protect them, so we're considered just like a Yona uses his wings to protect them. We use our mitzvahs to protect us. So the Ben Ish Chai asks very nice, but we have a mitzvah. We have a statement in Kiddushin that says Schar Mitzvah Bahay Al Maleka. We don't have reward for mitzvahs in this world. So over here, this Gemara seems it's saying that look at Klal Yisrael, the mitzvahs protect them over here. It seems to be going against the Mefurish Gemara. We don't get reward for mitzvahs in this world. It's reward in the next world. And he answers that there's a difference between protecting and getting schar. He says it's a lashon of protecting Medinot over here. That, to distance hezek from us, nezek from us, that mitzvah can do. It can make sure we don't get into problems. But that is not called schar mitzvahs in this world. That when you do a mitzvah has a certain protection on a person. It doesn't mean that you're getting schar in this world for them. Rashi. Binakru et mocho, shohu tachra tefillin, the place over here that's under tefillin. Binakru lashin nikor einayim, gouging. Over here. Kazdo, this type of Roman soldier, it says minstrel. Shahaya Mimona Akach. He was appointed specifically for the reason to make sure people don't put tefillin on. Kanfiyona. Kidmeforish Lakami Mipanesha Heim Mitzvot. Why Kanfiyona? That they are mitzvah compared to the mitzvahs. The Heim Maginal Yisrael, and they protect Klal Yisrael. The Havilem Kinefaim Liyona. Shehi Nimshelet Liyona. Klal Yisrael is compared to the Yona. The mitzvahs Kinefaim. It's like the wings of a person. We're the bird. But what makes us soar, what makes us fly, and what protects us in times of dangers is the kinafayim. That's the wings of the yon, and that's our mitzvahs, things like that. Kanfeya meginot aleya, min hatzina, it protects it from the cold, when we call off, and from other animals, v'yatam, habale, and if a person comes on, and a yon will use its wings. She'ein kein, v'shar alfot. It doesn't happen with other alfot. I saw an interesting, just this morning before I came, a Marvel Diskin on Parsha Shavua, on Tefillin, he brings down these Gemaras over here. And again, the question was, how do we see from here that that Elisha was Naki, he had a Guf Naki. We just see his Moser Nefesh on it. So the Tosfot over here, this first Tosfot, Kilisha Balkanafayim, Lachi Nekar Elisha, the Mistama, Kevin Shnatsa Lo Nes, since the Nes happened for him, but Tefillin, it's obvious that if he's so Moshe Nefesh and an ace happened to him, it must be. But it's not a clear indicator over here. So the Marvel Diskin uses his second Gemara that we ask on him. How is he able to take off the tefillin? He should be Moshe Nefesh over here. Again, we're dealing with that he's, on one hand, it seems like we're having a little contradiction over here. One hand, he doesn't have to be Moshe Nefesh on tefillin. The fact that he went out at the time of Shema, fine. But he didn't have to because not everybody did it. But he was Moser Nefesh. So then why did he take it off when the woman came to him? If you're going to be Moser Nefesh at the time of Shemad, go out into a shuk, then you're being Moser Nefesh. All of a sudden he takes it off. Why did he take it off? The moral distance said he didn't take it off because he was afraid of the woman. He took it off, as yet guess. He was all scared from all the running over there. He was all behold. That's why he removed the tefillin. And not because of the woman soldier.
Yeah, but why did he run away?
What?
Why did he run away?
Okay.
None of us.
He ran away, but he didn't take him off. Save your life in that way, but not to take off the tefillin and then hide the tefillin. He was Moser Nefesh on it. Let him be completely. If he's Moser Nefesh, he's Moser Nefesh. So he had to remove it because he didn't want to. He was all.
He ran away because he had gas and he had to take them off, and he didn't want the Roman to think he was taking it off.
Oh! Scrap. Okay, back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah mentioned the source shel chavashim, the sawdust. And then it mentioned the Neros Shal Pishtim, the combings of the Pishtim, Dakim. Rabbi Yehuda also bedakul matir b'gasa. He ushered with the thin ones, but he matted with gasa. What is Rabbi Yehuda going on? Only on the Pishtim or also on the sawdust? What is exactly what he's saying over here? That's the question of the Gemara. But the Sor Shal Chavashim b'chuli, he boilu, Rabbi Yehuda, on the Sor Shal Chavashim kai, is he going on the sawdust? Or an Oroshal Pishtim Kai? Or is he going on the Pishtim combings? Tashma, the Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, No Oroshal Pishtim Daka. He says that when did I make a chilek? No Pishtim Daka, Hari Hu Kizevel. Only when they're thin, when you combed it out thinly, it has a thin like Zevel. Why Zevel? Vashi says, Hari Hu Kizevel, the Mosif Evel. Only when they're thin. Shmami, now we see that a Brisa talks about Pishtim, Anar Shal Pishtim Kai, he's talking only when it's thin. Only when it's thin, combings, not thick ones, Kai. Shmami, now, he only makes a chilek with the flax, but not with the sawdust. You could even have mashmat, even thick sawdust would be mutter over here. Okay, that's that. Mishnah. Next Mishnah. Entire. Full Hamadah again. Tomnim b'shalchin. Shalchin, Rashi says, is orot. They are skins. Kamo v'yafshi targum. Whenever you have v'yafshi, I guess in Vayikra, we're talking about taking off the skins. Targum v'yishlachin. You remove them. So shalchin is animal skins. So you're allowed to, again, these are things that are not mosif hevel. These are things that you can do hatmana on in the morning. And Erev Shabbos. Umetaltim matam. Not only can you do hatman on it, when you're done with it, you can move them. Vashi, doesn't have a din books on it. Bein shetamen behem, bein shalotamen behem. whether you used it or you didn't use it for Hatmana. The Chazal and Matzke Elayu, they're Chazal. You put them on the floor, you can lay on them, you can use them for other purposes. The Torah Kli on them, and they're not Muxer in any way, and therefore you could use them on Shabbos. So therefore, even if you designated for Hatmana, when the Hatmana is finished with, you could use it, even if you weren't. Put it aside for Hatmana, you can use it. The real Kiddush is over here, Begizei Tzema, in the Tzema. The strips of Tzema, you're allowed to use it for Hatmana, Fein Metatlim, but you're not allowed to move them. Rashi, Ein Metatlim Otam, the Muxos Heim Letavur Liorik. Since you're set aside for Malacha, they're used for weaving and twining, I guess, they have a din of muksar on Shabbos. So even though you designated it as a kli, we had it earlier, we mentioned already with the mukhin, it's designated, but that doesn't remove its muksar status. Meaning it doesn't give it a Torah kli that you're using it for Shabbos that you continue using it. Meaning if you use these things, you use them, and once you're done with the hatmana, they revert back to their original muksar status. If you can't move them, ketzad huasa, which, how do you use it? How did we exactly use it? It remains muksa. So what should you do? So how should you do it? So here we have our hatmana box. We took lots of shearings of sheep, which is muksa normally. You can't use it because it doesn't have a Torah kli on it, because it's specifically going to be used for the weaving process later. But you want to use it for hatmana. So you have it in the box. Now, no telet akiso. You have your pot in the box with a lid on it, and you have shearing all around it. So what should you do? It's muks over here. So we say no telet akiso. I just pull off the kiso. Vehem no float. And they can fall on the side. It's not a problem. So Rashi immediately addresses a very big problem over here. Before we go right in the Mishnah. Ketzer uosa. Zeshe tamen behem. Ketzer yitul kateretah. How should he take his pot out? Howel v'yasalitatlan. You can't move them. There is a muks on it. Shari yutamuna kulabam. It's completely in it. So he said you can move the top off. Once you move the top off, all the things fell to the side. And now we move your pot over here from it. Notel kisoy shel kederi sheish tor kli aleh. You should remove it. The top of the lid, because that has a tor kli on it. Now Rashi says afal gav, and he's just Derek Byway avoiding a major, major question that the other Rishonim scream at as a question. You go through this Rashi slowly and you think, oh, there's no problem over here, but it's a very big problem. Afal gav sheheim aleya, even though they're on it, and since they're on it, it should make it a bosi sladova usser. Right? We had cases before. When you have something usser on top of something, you have your candelabra on your table and there's a flame on it, everything's a bus, it's the double usser over here. So these things are muks over here, it should be a bus, it's the double usser. V'yafal gav sheheim aleya, lo ikbalan. It doesn't bother us. To lo nasi busis. It will not make a busis lamb, sheheim asoy elik sod kidera. Because they're not made except to cover the kidera. What is Rashi saying? Couldn't figure it out. The other Mephoshim explained in Shita's Rashi. What does it mean, She'ein Asoy Eilik Sod Kitera? What is that talking about? It's talking about the Kisoy. The lid. What did you say? The lid. And Rashi's saying a very big Kiddush in Basis L'Dava Asar. What is something a Basis L'Dava Asar? When it's a Basis for the Dava Asar. When it's actually there for the purpose of the Dava Asar. But over here, it's not, the lid is not there to hold up the insulating material. The lid is there for the purpose of serving the pot. As a matter of fact, the tzemer is serving the lid over here to help it cover the pot over here. It's not that the lid is serving the dava asr, the muksar. The muksar is serving the pot over here. And when the iser is serving the heter, the muksar is serving the basis, that's not a basis l'dava asr. Only when the basis itself, the lid, is there to serve the muksar, do you have a basis with a basis. Oh, you might say it is serving it, because it's making sure it doesn't fall in. That's not called serving it. Again, it's for the purpose of the pot over here, and not for the purpose of the tzema over here. What? No, they scream the question. should be a basis to davar zarah. He's just an afa gav, even though he just takes it very gently over here, that he takes care of a major issue that's going on. And it's a new chiddush din that we understand in a basis to davar asar. So therefore, we could think practically over here that only if the thing was serving the davar asar, is it a basis to davar asar. But if it's not serving it, it's not a basis to davar asar. It's a big din over here. Okay, so the Mishnah finished up in saying, Rebbe Eliezer ben Azaria Omer Kupa, he's bothered by this. He doesn't like this Eitzah of just taking the lid off and letting the things fall on its side. Rebbe Eliezer may know, Kupa Mata Al Tzedah, you have to tilt it on its side, and therefore, or it's called, we already had this, this is Tiltul Min Atzad, we're allowed to move Muxer in a unusual way. So he tilted the thing on its side, and the tzemer fell off, and hopefully your food won't spill, right? Finotel, and now you take it out. Why? Shema yitul v'eni yechali aksir. He's worried that when everything comes, when you take it out, all the things will fall back, and you'll lose the chal, the cavity that's over there, and you might come to move the muksu over here. And therefore, you should tilt it completely on the side, just pour them out, and then, so we're worried that you won't be able to return.
You should pour the food, not you should pour the...
Leaving the food, oh yeah, you're right. Sorry. That's exactly what I came to. I had the first... Wait. It's not that you're taking the food out. You're pouring the food out in order that you don't mess up the cavity over here. And Chachamimim no to Lomaxir, we're not worried about this problem over here, and the Gemara will be Meforish exactly the Machloket tomorrow. Rebbe Eliezer ben Azaria may kupa mata al tzedah v'notel. You take out the food, not the pot. Kishaboli tola kidera. No, it's the kidera. When he comes to take the kidera, mata kupa al tzedah. Rashi is saying the kidera. When you come to take the kidera, you tilt the kupa on its side.
In order to take out the food.
It says kidera in Rashi. Kidera. It doesn't say to take the food out and leaving the food in. It says when you come to take out the kidera, mata kupa al tzeda. Shema yito. Perhaps you'll take the kidera, v'yiplu agizim. Over here it's mashma like what you're saying. And you, the gizim, the muksa will fall, shemekanu mekanu on both sides, latok kuma into the midst of the cavity, shiyashva behem that it was sitting in, fe'im yitztarek lakso, and if you now want to return back the pot, liatamina, lo yachal etaltel gizim, you can't move the gizim, lakanu lakan to remake the cavity, latok kuma to make the cavity, ulakse betokho. And the comment says, no to lamakse, begumorim, meforshlam, we'll go over this case.